Welcome to Voices Unplugged, featuring stories that matter, voices that inspire, and perspectives that may challenge the status quo. Unplug from the noise of everyday life to connect with fascinating student hosts from all walks of life. So grab your headphones, sit back, and let's amplify the conversations that need to be heard.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zach Poole, and today we'll be talking about some things that maybe that people may be wondering when they're first going to law enforcement. My guest today will be my cousin, Brianna Brusso. She's been a police officer in the Toledo Police Department for 3 years. Hey, Brianna, what do you think are some advantages and disadvantages to being a woman in law enforcement?
So there are many advantages and disadvantages with being a woman in a dominantly male profession and a profession that requires authority and respect. But my I have a few ideas that are like the biggest things that stand out to me. So the first thing, men and women typically complete each other in a partnership, in any relationship in general, but specifically at work as a cop. It's extremely beneficial to have a man and woman. Women think differently and offer different perspectives than men do, and women even typically just operate differently than men. This is something my partner, who's a male, actually said was a surprising aspect of having a female partner, was that he enjoyed having the female perspective present in every situation, and he didn't realize how helpful it actually would be. Also, women typically make up where men lack and vice versa, so having the type of diversity in a partnership makes officers way more efficient in doing their job. It's kind of having like good cop, bad cop almost, but you have the two different personality types and two different perspectives always working together, and it's very beneficial. Also, women are typically seen as more caring and nurturing and even more empathetic than men, which is extremely beneficial when it comes to aspects of the job that require helping and being there for others. When we encounter domestic violence or rape victims, it is always much easier for them to feel comfortable speaking about what happened to a woman officer. Same goes for kids we encounter. Kids typically feel much more comfortable around women, which is extremely helpful for kid victims and high-stress situations that kids are involved in. For example, I've had a 12-year-old rape victim have to tell me every detail about what had happened to her, and in the end hugged me, and most likely she wouldn't have felt that comfortable with a male officer. My partner has never had anybody hug him at work, and I've had several people hug me, so people just generally people just feel more comfortable around women. And I've also had to remove toddlers from shooting scenes where themselves, their parents, or others have been shot, and the kids have all been more than willing to go with me and stay with me and be comfortable away from their parents. And whereas like there was a time my partner had tried to like remove a kid from a situation like that, and the kid was way too scared to go with him, so we had to switch roles and I had to go take the kid. And it's typically always like that. Kids or victims of violent crimes see women and cling to them and want the nurturing person to be around. Even people, I've had people shot that have like grabbed me like, please don't leave me, and it's the same type of person who a day before would have told me to use vulgar language when speaking to me. But when in a situation like that, they actually gravitate towards women. But on the other side is of pretty much the same coin, because of women being viewed as more nurturing and empathetic, the situations that require strength and authority, we often are seen as like weak and vulnerable. So often suspects will see a woman officer and attempt to take advantage of the situation. For example, like more suspects fight with, resist, and run from female officers than they do male officers. Suspects are also more likely to just not respect female officers in general for the same reason. You know, we're not authoritative enough for them. And that honestly causes female officers to typically have to use more force than men. Like my partner could tell somebody something and they would just listen the first time he says it because he's a guy. But when a female officer, you know, tells you to do something and you don't respect women, I usually have to say something more than once or threaten force before people listen to me. So, it works really well having a man and woman for both of those reasons. My partner can be more respected where I can be more empathetic.
That's an interesting point of view. Okay. Okay, and what do you enjoy most about being a police officer and why?
The most enjoyable aspect of my job is the reason I started doing it in the first place. I wanted to be the voice for those who don't have one and the strength for the vulnerable. Oftentimes, those who commit crime choose victims that are weak and vulnerable. So being able to be there for that person in those terrible times is one of the best things that you can experience. There's nothing more fulfilling than being that strength for those victims. When words cannot accurately describe the feeling of a hug from a stranger because you brought them strength and comfort in a time that they were being victimized. So those moments are the most enjoyable thing of the job.
All right, and we have a quick message from our sponsor. Here's David Desser from Vito's Pizza.
Vito's Pizza in Toledo since 1989. We have pizza, pasta, and subs ready for you. We're open till midnight every day. If you don't like it, I'll eat it for you. Vito's Pizza.
All right. So, Brianna, we know you've been a police officer for 3 years, but what's next for you?
Well, I actually really enjoy working the streets. It's the most effective way to be able to help people. Once you get promoted, you're not really dealing with the public as much. You're not really getting to be there for people, especially if you take specialty assignments like detectives and working in SWAT or gangs or computer crimes. So for now, while I'm young and able-bodied, I'd like to stay working the streets and dealing with as many people as possible. But when I get older and can't chase criminals anymore, I probably will be looking to promotion or a detective spot where you're not doing as much of that.
All right, and okay, next episode we will be hearing about the process of becoming a police officer. Thank you all for listening in, and I hope you all enjoyed hearing from Brianna about law enforcement. Before you leave, join the giveaway for a chance to win a free $50 gift card to Vito's Pizza and Subs.
Hi everyone, this is the voice of Nigeria, and our today's topic is going to be navigating protest for peaceful change. Welcome to the Voice of Nigeria, the protest where we'll do in the art of the Nigerian community, discussing the pressing issues that shapes our nation. I am your host and I am Ojo Oreoluwa, and today we're going to be discussing and focusing on the Nigerian community response to recent protests and exploring paths to achieving peaceful change. So today we all know that Nigeria currently is undergoing what we call a protest, and this is due to the bad governance. So the fact is that the quality of the money, of the value of the country, has been going down and dwindling throughout the years. And the fact is that basic things are not being met, basic amenities are not being met, e.g. buying of food, buying of resources, just buying food in the house has been an issue for this community. So, and like, the government just recently raised the minimum wage of the community, which is 70,000 naira, which is like $43, which is not gonna feed anybody. Nobody can even spend like $100 to feed in a week. So that is like outrageous. $43 in a month, that is something that we have to look into. So this has been going on and on and on, and like, the people are tired about it and they want to do something about it. So the first thing I think they should do is to set the scene. In recent times, Nigeria has been a surge in protests driven by various issues, from police brutality to economic instability. This protest has powerfully demonstrated the people's shares for change. Today, I share the insights on how the community is navigating this challenging time and striving for peaceful resolution. The primary catalyst for this protest has been the long-lasting issue of police brutality, especially actions by the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, or SAS. However, the frustration runs deeper, encompassing corruption, unemployment, and a lack of basic amenities. Grassroots movement and the strategic use of social media has been pivotal in the organization and mobilizing this protest. So the fact is that the police have been the people not making this protest to be a peaceful one. So the fact is that since the politicians have the power or have all the money in their hands, basically, that is the best way I can explain this stuff. These politicians then give only the money, or like, I'll say like a tiny bit to the police department. So since the police department now has like the power and basic amenities and the people do not have, then because of the little power given unto them, then they go into the people's community, the people that do not have power, and they start to make life basically difficult for them, which is not something that is meant to be at all. This is not something that is meant to just be in this community. So the primary, like, maintaining peace amidst aggression for authorities is challenging. Protest has had to focus on communication and education with their group to emphasize the importance of non-violence. Additionally, dealing with misinformation and attempt to incite violence has been a significant concern. So the fact is that since these people are being brutal, nobody wants to follow part of their footsteps. If you go to the Nigerian community, you don't hear people that say that they want to be police officers anymore or military personnel anymore, because the fact is that they are the ones that are making life difficult for the people of Nigeria. So people are now like going to schools to be teachers, to be engineers, to go for political science, for them to be the leader, so that they can like have power in the community one day. But the fact is that everybody is meant to be on the same level, and the police department are meant to come together just to make this community a peaceful one. They are the ones that are meant to make the community a peaceful one. They are the ones that are meant to stop robbery. They are the ones that are meant to stop bullying in the society. They are the ones that are meant to stop people from driving illegally on the road. But no, they are the ones even causing the havoc in the city, which is not meant to be so. So maintaining peaceful amidst aggression for authorities is challenging. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the role of the youth and technology. So today we have a lot of social media platforms. Where we come to Twitter, we come to X. Oh, sorry, they've changed Twitter to X now. So we come to X, we come to Instagram, we come to TikTok, and we just have a lot of platforms and medias which the youth can use to navigate the society. So the youth has been at the forefront of this protest, and technology has been a game changer. Social media platforms like Twitter and WhatsApp has allowed for real-time communication and global awareness, enabling the Nigerian community to organize efficiently and raise their voices on an international stage. Crowdfunding platform has also played a critical role in supporting protest-related activities and legal aid for young activists. It's essential to stay informed and verify information before sharing, using technology to document events, educate others, and promote non-violence is very crucial. So the basic thing that we're trying to say here is that we all should look for people that have gone before us, people that are like high in the society. We should invite them to these communities or to the social media platform, or like influencers. They should come and like speak about it. And we should also like have a platform for the government to know the people's mind so that they can know what to do about the people. They cannot know what to do about the people because they are the one leading the nation. So they need to hear from the ears of the people. They need to know what the people want. They need to know how the people can navigate these things that has been going on in Nigeria. And they need to know that, oh, what is the fair way forward? How can we make these people be better? And if the government are doing their job and the people are also doing their job, then this will make this country a well-groomed environment. And other countries would like to emulate these actors. That's why people want to emulate countries like United States. We want to emulate countries like the United Kingdom. We also emulate people like countries like France. But the fact is that the people and the government have to work together in order to accomplish this task. So what I'm just trying to say is that the government have to know what is on the mind of the people in order for them to execute a good task. The third one is going to be pathway to peaceful change. Achieving peaceful change is a highly charged environment requires strategic thinking. Dialogue is key. So basically, we should come together and communicate things out. Violence is not only the answer. The police brutality is not the only answer. The government cannot continue killing thousands of people every day. So they have to all come together to talk about these things. Engaging with authorities through structured negotiation and having clear, achievable demands can pave the way for progress. Building alliance with influential figures and organizations can also lend credible and support to the movement. Non-violent resistance such as boycotting and peaceful sitting can be powerful tools to ensure that the momentum of the protest translates into long-term change. The community needs to shift from reactive to proactive strategies. Establishing community-based organization focusing on continuous advocacy, education, and monitoring government action is essential. Empowering local leaders and maintaining a unified vision will help make the movement focused and effective. So what that's all trying to say that is that we all have to just come together and make this happen. We all have to go for education. We all have to monitor the government actions, and we should learn to critique what the government are doing. We should not just learn to stay at home and keep short. We should learn to critique what the government are doing. And we should also empower local leaders and maintain a unified vision which will help keep the movement focused and effective. So what this person is trying to say is that we should not only empower at the federal level, we should empower at the state level, we should empower at the grassroots level, we should empower the head of a small community in Nigeria. This can be able to make this community a greater place. And my last and not the least point is voice from the community. Let's now hear directly from the community. The process has been giving people hope, but there is a consensus that staying peaceful is crucial. Unity and resilience are seen as strength, and there is a recognition of power of technology. Through it must be used wisely. The focus is on the future with a sense of responsibility to fight for a better Nigeria for the next generation. There's a strong belief that violence isn't the answer and that working together to hold leaders accountable is the way forward. So all what I've been saying is unity, unity, unity. Unity is just what can make us work together. The Igbos and the Yorubas and the Hausas should come together and be one. There should not be discrimination amongst ourselves. We are one people. We are not meant to be divided. We all are meant to come together and face the government and tell them that what you're doing is not wrong. This is what you're meant to be doing to make this country a better place. And they should also learn to make the people speak up. This is why they call it democracy. It's not a military regime. The people are meant to be given power to speak about things that are not right in the community. Don't you just, all these things are not just to make the, it's not only for the people, but it's also for the government. It's also for other countries to look at Nigeria as a great country and emulate. And these things are just going to really help this community to make it better and better. And other communities will also like to emulate it. Other up undergrowing communities will also like to do this. And if these like this are done, larger communities would come into Nigeria and want to invest. They want to say, oh, these people have good characters, and they want to like build infrastructures who would make people have more jobs in the community, which not only be like people moving to the city to work, but also there will be infrastructure also in the rural areas and not only in the city. That when you are going to the city, you just don't feel that, oh, there's not going to be data in the rural area, that's why I cannot go to the rural. But no, information will all be shared around equally. And things like Google Map and like basic amenities will just be able to be used very efficiently. So my closing remark for today is, as we wrap up today's episode, it's clear that Nigerian community is navigating this protest with courage and determination. While challenges are significant, the commitment to peaceful change is unwavering. By staying informed, leveraging on technology and maintaining a focused and non-violent, the path to a better Nigeria is within reach. Thank you for joining me on The Voice of Nigeria. Stay safe, stay strong, and continue to raise your voices for a better future. Until next time, I'll remain your faithful host, Ojo Oreoluwa. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on Voices Unplugged. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep leading those voices.